Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jay Bonick with the guys here on Overtime. Coming up in about an hour's time, we're going to get a grip, as we always do, at 9 o'clock. But I did want to talk a little bit of Guardians with you guys tonight. If you missed it, the game is postponed. Guardians-Royals not going to be in action tonight. Rain, inclement weather, stopping that one. The Royals writing that due to inclement weather, tonight's game against Cleveland has been postponed and will be made up tomorrow, July 26th, as part of a split doubleheader with one game starting at what is going to be 2:40 Eastern time. I'll do the conversion for you. Don't worry. They're talking Central time. Nobody cares about that. 2:40 Eastern time. The second game will be starting at 7:15 Eastern time. So no game tonight. Guardians will be back in action on the weekend, taking on a doubleheader tomorrow. But it doesn't move the trade deadline for you. Still coming up. July 31st, last day for teams to make moves. So I thought it was pretty interesting going through and kind of looking at just what we've talked about. And we're a part of this. Nick talked about it at some point today, too, of like, hey, you basically got six games to make up your mind. Right? And we talked about using the Royals as a little bit of a litmus test of, hey, can you use them as that? Can I look at a team that's sitting right around 500 because I've, quite frankly, played four of the worst teams in baseball, or are going to play four of the worst teams in baseball, because you're wrapped up with White Sox, A's, Orioles, who are the three worst teams in the American League. You play the Royals, and then you play the worst team in the National League in the Colorado Rockies right before the deadline. So you basically got six games to make a decision. I have to have everything that I want figured out by the time that I get through these games. And there's this thing going around where we talk about it and we're like, well, Guardians front office is going to be looking and they're going to have to make a decision, and these six games are going to play a massive impact on that. That's just something that I look at. And while it would make sense if that was the case, I don't think it's reality. Like, we like to think that these teams are sitting here watching every single pitch, every single move that they make and going, all right, well, we got to think about moving one of these guys, but that team's hot right now. We got to buy. Got to buy because they can capitalize on this. As wonderful as that would be if the Guardians front office was just buying into it, and they're like, this team got hot, we have to trust in them. I just don't think that's the way that front offices operate. Like, and it's not the way that this specific front office has ever operated. They don't overreact. They don't judge off of a 12-game span, 13-game span, how great a baseball team is, and let it change their opinions on what they just watched for the 90 games prior. The Guardians have made a very clear definition of who they are. And that's including the 10-game losing streak. That is still including the win streak they just went on. But it's the whole body of work that they've put together. It's this entire scope of looking at it and saying, well, you know, they've gone through moments where they have highs. They've certainly had lows. But they're a baseball team that, you know, we play John Morosi. You take out Stephen Kwan. You take out Jose Ramirez. The team kind of crumbles. If they stop being productive, the offense crumbles. So much of your production is riding on two players, two great players offensively for baseball, that everything else around you is a little bit of a wild card or a little bit inconsistent. And the Guardians front office is aware of that, and they're not going to overreact to a few guys getting hot at the right time and you being able to string together wins. Again, yes, you're in the mix, but it's more than just being in the mix.
You have to prove to your front office through the entire first part of the year. And maybe, you know, you get the luxury of, we'll kind of throw out the first month. Like, how have you developed since then? Show me what you have been lately. And show me what you have been consistently time and time again. And if the team that you were to start the first 25 games doesn't end up being the team that you were for the last 75, well, of course the 75 is going to win out. But it's about the grand scope. It's about what have you showed entirely. And the Guardians have showed time and time again to be a 500 team, a 50-50 team, if you would. They're going to win as many games as they lose, or they're going to be in that ballpark. Those are not teams that buy. Because those are not teams that think that they can make a deep run into the playoffs. And making the playoffs is a great thing, and I think the Guardians value that. But are you going to make it? That's still to be decided. You're still trailing in a wild card race. And what, you know, the deeper wild card races that we've gotten in baseball since they changed the playoff format. But it doesn't really change. Nothing is different of going through and looking at it. You know, 13 days ago to what it is now, other than the fact that, you're sure, a little bit closer. But is this team going to be able to keep up the offensive streak they've been on? Can they really catch the Detroit Tigers? Probably not. It sucks to say because they're 8 games back, and it feels like they could absolutely make a few moves and stay hot and really catch up. But reality tells you the Tigers are not going to continue to lose whatever it's been. I mean, it feels like I think 12 of their last 13 games or something crazy. They're not going to continue to do that. They're eventually going to even out. They're going to return to being, you know, probably more of what they were in the first half of the year, or maybe a dumbed down version of that. And the Guardians will probably trend back to being closer to a 500 baseball team. And by the way, might have already started taking that trend. They scored 3 runs in each of the last 2 games against one of the worst teams in baseball, one of the worst pitching staffs in baseball. The Guardians are not going to be buyers. We can just throw that out. Right? If anybody still has that in their mind, that that's consideration, that they're going to go out and make a few splashes to try to improve this team, I don't think they're going to. I don't know that they're going to be sellers. I don't know that they stand pat, but it's one of the two. Because that's what you do. You either sell off some pieces and try to get more control to be better into the future, or you say, you know what, maybe we give this team a fighting chance. And we're already relatively young, which you are. I mean, outside of Carlos Santana, and you have an expiring deal on Lane Thomas, who's not going to be able to be traded in the slightest. You're young. Like, Angel, I mean, Kwan's obviously a little bit older. Jose's older, but those guys are great. But a lot of the other pieces you have, you look around, and they're not old. They're developing players who could be with you in the future. Nolan Jones, the same exact thing. A young player who is still developing in his game. You're going to have to figure out the contract situation, but like Rocchio, Arias, Schneeman, Bo, these are all guys who have not reached the point where you're thinking about paying them the next contract. So you can roll out part of the same lineup next year and use the back half of this season to evaluate what are you and what adjustments can you make? Can you get better? And then, you know, through the offseason, you hope to plug some of those holes. But right now, the Guardians are on the verge of doing nothing or being like half sellers, right? Can you move off of Carlos Santana? Because that move still absolutely makes sense. And from a production standpoint and from where you're going for 2026 standpoint. I just think everybody has their entire head wrapped around, well, what if they come out here and win the next 6? Then undeniably you can't do it. And what if the Tigers stay bad and then you're just a couple games away from competing and actually trying to take the division? Once you got this thing down to, you know, 5 or 6 games before the deadline hit, then you couldn't deny the fact that they're close. But I still can. Like, you can deny. I want to believe in this team, and I do. I think the offense is taking its tick up, and they are starting to look better. But I also know you eventually come back to earth, and the front office knows that too. As much as it is a fun ride to enjoy the highs of the highs, you do eventually take a crash. So I think that all of these guys are probably sticking around for the most part. And I think the Guardians' option that they're probably going to consider is if we just leave this team as is, they're showing that they can go out and give a fight. They're already in a playoff race. Right? And we know they're not an 0-for-10 team again. They're not going to go out and lose 10 straight games. They're probably not going to go on a ton more of these winning streaks. But if they can stay here and just win a little bit more than they lose, They got a real shot to make the playoffs, and we'll let them do that. Because that's a great thing. We're not going to take away from too much of this team. You're not going to sell off pieces like Kwan. I think that has completely flown out the window at this point, unless something dramatic is happening behind the scenes we don't know about. But everything else feels like it's kind of come and gone already. Right? You've already gotten to the point that you look at these guys and, well, let's just see what they got. Let's see what guys like CJ Kafis have. Maybe you call up him. Maybe you'll call up, hey, that's really the only like young prospect who's still around who's not injured, because Brito's had a little bit of a lost season. The Lauder has the hammock bone fracture in his wrist, so he's done. Bizanas obviously was down for too long to get a call up to AAA and a call up to the majors this year. He's kind of off the table. But you still have Kafis, still a guy you can evaluate this year. And again, you're filled with young players that you do need to see what they can do as they're handed more reps. And some of these guys have started to come around. You're just not going to be able to do anything to truly help this team get over the hump. And I think that is the way that you have to look at it. There's too many holes on this team, too many guys who are not ready to compete at a playoff contending level to actually get playoff at-bats and have them succeed. You knew that when you were pulling away veterans from this team in the offseason. You tried to add a veteran to supplement it, but it didn't really work. So this is reality you're faced with. The Guardians are not going to overreact. I can say that now. The winning streak, as much as it feels good and as much as it what makes you want to believe, the front office isn't looking at the winning streak. The front office is looking at, here's where we stand, here's the trust that we have in the players, and we look around at the league. Are you competing with the Yankees? Probably not. Competing with the Blue Jays? I don't think so. Those are teams that are going to be better than you. So even with a minimal upgrade or two, you're still in the same spot. 216-474-0092.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I guess you think the Guardians will use this stretch of baseball as a determining factor in what they do at the deadline. I'm just not buying it. We'll talk a little bit more Browns coming back here in 5 minutes as we get to our daily quarterback rankings and more on Shador Sanders talking about limited reps right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on The Fan. So we're going to get back to talking to a little bit of Browns here as we move forward because, well, we're out at training camp. We spent a lot of time in the heat. It makes me want to talk about Browns. It didn't make me excited, by the way. Like, we talk about the mugginess. We talk about the offense not looking good. I make it sound like it was such a bad time out there. I really do. I had a lot of fun. It was a good time walking around, actually seeing it. It did give the illusion, like, all right, football's now. Like, we're already back into it. We're ready to go. Where you still got a little bit of climbing, a little bit to get before we get there. But it is back. It feels like it's back. And because of it, we continue to do the same thing that we've been doing since the start of the week. It's not going to stop until we have a starter named. Let's get to our Browns Daily quarterback rankings. Let's
Let the clown show commence. All right, let's kick it off. At the very bottom, the four spot for the Browns quarterback rankings, it's Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur is he's clearly in the four spot right now. And if you need nothing else, he took no reps with the ones today. Everybody else took reps with the ones. And I forget who I was talking to about this, but it feels like a constant of, oh, well, you know, they're going to rotate. I think it was Michael the other night, Mark Koch, and we were having a conversation. It was like, well, they're going to rotate who these guys are and, you know, who doesn't get the reps, who does, but they don't. Consistently, Shedeur not getting the reps. Like, that's not a four-man competition. Shedeur feels like he's been cut out of it in the early going. Maybe, you know, they show that they're pushing him back into it and he's still a part of this competition moving forward, but it doesn't feel that way. It feels like he's still a tick behind from where everyone else is. And, he's going to leave him at the clear four spot. I'm going to be honest with you. If I could put all quarterbacks in the four spot right now, I might do it. That's not how this works. So, getting into the number three spot, it's still going to be Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel still rides at the number three. He still continues to be really the one quarterback of the rookies that it still doesn't look great. He still seemed to tick behind to me today. There were a couple of plays where I thought he probably would have ended up getting sacked on them. But obviously, we're not recording sacks. He can't hit the quarterback in training camp or any practice for that matter. But yeah, he seemed to be a little bit, it's just still a step behind from where the two veterans were. The height and the size continues to be a little bit of an issue from me. I know there was one play, so where we were set up, there were players out in front of us on the sideline as they were running their 11-on-11s because they were only doing it on one field for a portion today. I could not see Dylan Gabriel. And to be honest, could not see him. The ball just floated out from behind the pocket. Wasn't a completion either, as there weren't many. But size still continues to be a little bit of a factor for me. You got to find your lanes. I think he normally does a good job at finding his lanes to throw through. That was one play where he didn't have that opportunity and had to go up and over the line. But yeah, the ball just still doesn't look tight going to the outsides. It still looks like he needs to add a little something. He's still not making clear-cut NFL quarterback caliber throws to the numbers. So he's still got a little work to do. Maybe he can get there. Not writing him off, but still got work to do. At the number two spot, after today, and I told you, we're overreactionary in these. Joe Flacco lands at the number two. He had a 4-for-10 day, and there were some drops in there. The red zone didn't look great again. All the quarterbacks looked bad. But Joe was just mediocre today. He didn't do anything that was ultimately impressive. I will say the one thing that I laughed about is they went out there to run a play in, I think, red zone 7-on-7s. And Joe went out there. He looked at how the team lined up, and he goes, all right, come on back. Get back here. And he reset up the play. I don't think they lined up in the way that he called the play to be lined up. He was like, yeah, this is not what we're running. Let's try this one more time. Not a great sign, but also, you know, take your command. 40-year-old quarterback. That's what you do. I like to see the, you're the leader. Good leadership skills. And while it's completely undeserving, and it probably only lasts for today, I'm going to go back out to training camp tomorrow morning. You won't have a daily Browns quarterback rankings, but it will change. Kenny Pickett will land at the number one. He was the only quarterback to throw a touchdown today. As sad as that is, he was the only quarterback to throw a touchdown today. So he took a little bit of the lead. Again, we're overreactionary. You ask me right now, Joe Flacco's still my starter week one. But for the daily rankings purpose, yes, Kenny Pickett does take the step up today because they were close yesterday.
Kenny Pickett, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're alone on that one. No chance.
Oh, the Kenny Pickett train is leaving the station.
If you made me do a chant right now with Kenny Pickett, it'd be like 4-13, 4-13, 4-13.
Or 13-4, 13-4.
None of that. Yeah, Kenny lands at the number one. But like I said, if I could put all these quarterbacks on four today, they would all be at four. The offense did look downright abysmal. All right, that'll do it for our Browns Daily quarterback rankings over on X. Avonley Jake, VULINEC. Jake will have those up here in just a few minutes. But I did want to talk about one of the quarterbacks, and it was actually the quarterback who landed at number four. Shedeur Sanders went through and he talked to the media today
which I thought, I'll give him his credit, I thought from everything that I've heard, he handled it pretty well. But I just don't know that I can fully get behind everything that's gone into him being a step behind when it comes to him, right? And I do want to play a clip for you that Shador went out and said, but it was just a mature answer. I just don't know if it shows the urgency that you really be dying for it. I'm not taking it with a ton, but it is sort of the reality of where we're at. Because he was asked about taking the lack of snaps and how you move forward from it.
I'll say just have a deeper level of understanding, because I know whenever I get my opportunity, I got to maximize it. I just got to think about what I could do to get better, even if I'm not getting reps in. It's no problem.
So he throws out that like the reps thing isn't a problem. And again, like from his perspective in talking to the media, you're not going to be like, well, you know, not getting reps is a real issue for me. You're not going to say that, and you shouldn't say that. I do think, though, that like at some point, if you're Shador, internally, it's something you should be concerned about. Like, you should absolutely be worried. If you want to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, which we know Shador does, it's 100% something you should be worried about, and you should be concerned about going through and not getting the reps that everybody else is and not working with the first team. These guys are going to have to earn them. And I talked about that. You have to earn these reps and you have to be the guy to step up. But if you continue to go through and not be able to prove yourself on the field or not feel like by playing on the field and doing what you're doing, you're beginning a fair chance at the number one spot the way that other guys are. At some point, you know, the job gets to be too late. And you get to be put in a disadvantageous position. Like early on, 3 days in, should you be worried? I don't know if you're Shador. I think you can pretty much take the slow route on this one. You can remain calm, and it's going to be the correct thing to do. You also eventually have to get to a spot where you feel comfortable. And you have to get to a spot where you can prove to your coaches that you can do it. But you should probably start to be concerned. Again, you're the one guy here that despite being taken in the fifth round, was being talked about being taken in the first or the second round. You were the guy who was supposed to be, if anybody was going to come out and surprise in training camp, you were supposed to be the guy to do it. You were supposed to be the surprise. And right now, it's not showing that Shador is, and the reps are matching that exact kind of output. Again, maybe I'm overreacting here. But I'll throw out to you guys at 216-474-0092. Do you feel like Shador Sanders has been cut out of the quarterback battle? Because every time you don't get first team reps, and especially early on here when you're not getting them, like I struggle that to think, and Dom, maybe you can retort this. If they're saying quarterback competition and they're throwing out first team reps to guys like Dylan Gabriel, I feel like that only gets more difficult as the pads go on to get those first team reps.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it depends what, it depends like what drills and like where you're seeing them get these reps as well. Because like, if Dylan Gabriel's getting like first team reps for inside run, it really doesn't matter. But like, if he's getting the primary run for team or for the 7-on-7s or whatnot,
which he did, he ran for the 1-on-1s. I'm positive he ran them on a full team, 11-on-11.
Yeah, so, I mean, how many reps is that with, because you have what, four guys? Was it 11?
They mixed a run and pass, and I want to say he probably threw anywhere from like 4 to 6 passes in that range.
So 6 passes for the guy that got the most reps. Then what, Kenny and Joe probably got what, to 4 or 5?
I think right around the same, yeah, and anywhere from 4 to 6.
Probably what, got like 2 throws, 3 throws at best?
Not with the ones.
This actually happened to Kenny in Pittsburgh his rookie year, where he didn't get any reps with the first team, gets thrown in there, loses his first game that he gets actual reps in, and people are like, oh, he doesn't have any chemistry with the guys. Well, how is he supposed to? So it's hard. They're going to have to cut down reps from someone, and it can't be from Shador or Dylan. You have to cut him off of Joe, because if anyone can do more with less, it's him.
And again, and they've done that at times, right? Like, there has been moments where they go on 11-on-11s and Joe doesn't take reps on some days. Like, they've tried to do that, but it's still, Shador's not run with the first team. Like, if you're talking about him getting a chance this year, which I think everybody is because you want to see, do I need to draft a quarterback next year? Or maybe I have an answer. Like, Shador's the one guy who has not taken first-team reps at all. They just have not thrown him in with that group. They continuously make it Kenny or Dylan. Again, if you're not running a quarterback competition that's just four guys, I expect that. Like, you don't need to get those reps at that point. But if Shador's not getting them, it does feel like you're cut out of that battle. You are being taken out if they're just giving them to the other three guys that are in the room. And specifically, like, even when you cut out Joe, you're just extending the portion where get more reps to Pickett, get more reps to Dylan Gabriel.
And also, we got to remember, this isn't necessarily a bad thing, right? Shador might not be ready for first-team reps, but that doesn't mean that he won't be. Dylan Gabriel getting first-team reps on this team just might be he's just good enough to get in there and, you know, I mean, he's older, too. I mean, he's what, 24, 25?
I think he's 23 or 24. I think he's 23 years old.
Because he's been in college since 2019.
Yeah, he turned 23 in February.
Okay. So, I mean, a little on the older side, but, I mean, what's Shador, 21, 22? So, maybe Dylan's ready now, but that doesn't mean he's going to be the answer, even if he ends up starting week one or in the middle of the season before Shador does. Just because he's not getting reps now in the first team doesn't mean he won't be ready later on. It might take him a little bit to develop and get used to it. And we did know that, like, he was a little unprepared when it came to the playbook side. And, you don't have a playbook catered to you now like you did in college. So it might take him a minute to adjust, and that's okay. I mean, this is year, what, one or two of what's probably going to be a few-year rebuild. Let's be real here.
Well, yeah, I think it's at least taken you. I mean, you're definitely talking about this year and into next year of taking a quarterback, developing that quarterback, and making it work. I misunderstood your question, by the way. Dylan Gabriel, 24. Shador Sanders, 23.
You lied to me.
I don't know why I thought you were asking about Shador. Shador is 23. That's the guy who turned 23 in February. Yeah, Dylan's 24.
Yeah, and he's probably turning 25 here very shortly.
December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, him and Kenny Pickett faced in college.
Yes.
In 2000.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
19.
What a killer matchup. Was that UCF versus Jackson State?
Jackson State?
Or
Pitt. Kenny Pickett versus...
I can't hear names today. I'm terrible. I was thinking Shador Sanders. Yeah, no, I was way off. But yes, UCF was correct, right? I had that nailed. I don't know. Hey, quarterback names getting thrown through a loop. I'm the one that's off. Dom, you're doing great. Again, but like that would mean, like, and it's okay. Like, if Shador's not ready, he's not ready. Like you said, that's fine. Like, he's out of the competition then. Like, right now, for week one, you're done.
Yeah, and again, maybe this is a hot take, but whoever's going to be the starter for week one this year is definitely not going to be the starter next year. Let's be real.
Dom, let me be real with you. I don't think whoever the starter is week one this year, I think you can go as far to say they're definitely not going to be the starter by week 17.
Oh, definitely
they probably
not.
Won't be the starter by week 10.
Definitely. I mean, Dylan Gabriel has a chance of it, but like also like.
He probably won't be the starter week one either. Let's be real.
No, no, but he is he does have the doors peaked open for him. Shadur, it's you know, it's not locked, but it's not opened.
Yeah, I just, again, if we're sitting here and you're going through right now and you don't have reps when the pads aren't on with the first team, I struggle to think when things ramp up, when guys are going to get more aggressive and it's only going to get more difficult, more physical as it moves on. Like, this is as open as the receivers are ever going to be with no pads on because you can't be as physical. MJ got a little physical at points today, but you can't be as physical when you actually get the pads on. Like, you can actually start to get a little handsy. You can start to, you know, toss guys around a little bit. This is as open as receivers get. This is the most advantage they will have, especially the wide receiver core for the Browns, who is not large and aggressive and, you know, getting solid pushoffs and bigger than the defensive backs that they're going up against. It's as open as you get. If you're not getting the reps with the ones at this point, I just don't think you're getting them when pads go on, and that means you're cut out of the competition. I'd love to think Shador can still start week one. I'm not saying he's done for the year, but it already feels like it's a three-man quarterback competition, and we don't get pads till Monday. That's a very early statement that the Browns have not made themselves in words, but are showing very, very clearly in actions. So tell me. Just absolutely tell me that's what you're doing. I don't understand the illusion of having a four-man competition when it's not a four-man competition. It just doesn't make sense. 216-474-0092. Do you think Shador Sanders has already been cut out of the week one quarterback battle? We're going to get into a little bit more Brown-centric coming up here in 5 minutes as well. But right now, let's shoot it to a McKenzie Flume 2020. Okay, the offense looked bad. Nobody really had any success. Not very promising from the offensive side. We do take into account we are 3 days in, but it was a rough day for the quarterbacks at camp today. Going to have a chance to correct it tomorrow morning, but early evaluation, not impressed. Not impressed by what we saw. Not other quarterbacks. So we're going to have to see some more. Also, you know, I guess the real news that would come out of today, Jordan Hicks decided that he wasn't only going to not put on the pads today, but never again, because he hit the retirement button. And the Browns are down a linebacker, and Cedric Tillman went down with what appeared to be a lower leg injury. I think the Browns confirmed that, courtesy of Mary Kay Cabot at Cleveland.com. And he walked out of practice with a trainer or a member of the medical staff. He stood up on his own 2 feet. That was good. But nothing more. No update further than that. We'll see what they look like tomorrow morning. And I'm sure we'll have some updates. As you listen on Saturday morning, which I believe tomorrow is Nick Padone and Anthony Lant. You can enjoy it.
Training camp coverage powered by Genesee Brewing Company and Window Nation.
From Browns training camp right now on our YouTube channel. Daryl Reuter recaps each and every practice and features the best highlights from coaches and players during media availability as well as the on-the-field action. So subscribe to 92.3 The Fan's channel on YouTube now and get all the latest from Daryl Reuter on the Browns throughout the football season. Jake Volnick with you guys here on The Fan. And we're talking about Shador Sanders. You know, is he in? Is he out of the quarterback competition? A lot still to be determined there. But he's essentially saying he's making the most of his reps right now and not worried about the lack of them so far. And again, if it's Shador, you're going to try to get your moment when you get your moment. You don't even want to force it. You want to make sure you're ready and the team's ready for you. But I do think that there's, you know, sort of a way to get here and be a little upset. I also think, again, as we talked about, like the quarterbacks just didn't look great. And I am a little scared for what the offense is going to look like because I don't know how quickly they're going to commit to one quarterback. But I do think you got to take a look at where the Browns are at right now. Okay, and where Vegas has you, because you're not far off of being the worst team in the league. You're basically projected to be that sitting at 4.5 to 5.5 wins where you are in most of the sports books. I think you're sitting right around 5.5 right now at just about all of them. But a little bit difficult to sort of climb the ladder and get there. And I feel like if you're going to take that next step up, right, if you're going to be better than what Vegas says you are, you're obviously going to need things to fall your way, and you're going to need to be good. Like, and that's going to come from the guys who are your projected starters right now. And I think that's where a lot of my concern stems, right? Like, the projected starters, I can make a very easy claim that things go your way and things just work out. Yeah, if you can go out there and Deontay Johnson makes the team and he plays, I think that he could be a really solid addition to this team. I think, while the linebacker core is a little scary, like when it had Jordan Hicks in it, you could feasibly look at it and say that's fine. Like Jordan Hicks, Carson Schwessinger, and then going and throwing either, you know, Devin Bush or Baker, or you got rotational pieces like Winston Reed, who's more of a special teams guy, and Mahmoud Diabate, who was fine rotationally last year. It felt like you had a pretty decent spot almost everywhere on the field to look at and say, all right, yeah, they're going to be all right. As soon as Jordan Hicks hit the retirement button today, I do start to get a little bit concerned as you look around. And it's not just at the linebacker room, but it forces you to peer into other rooms as well. And I think the Cedric Tillman injury also sparked this in my head. Maybe that's why we started looking around. I think depth is by far your biggest concern. Like, almost everywhere on the field. Quarterback, you got depth. Running back, you got pretty good depth. Like, even right now, even if you take Quinshon Judkins out of the equation, Jerome Ford, Dylan Sampson, Pierre Strong is your third running back. Like, you got depth to be okay there. But you could say this about a lot of teams, but I think specifically with the Browns right now, injuries are a major concern for where this team bottoms out at. And you obviously can't go into a season expecting there to be, oh, well, you know, hopefully the guys don't get injured. Like, you got to prep for injuries at some point. Guys are going to get hurt. Even if it's not, you know, guys down for the year, you're going to run into injury problems, at least on the week to week, where guys aren't going to be available. And I got real concern. Like, hey, as soon as Jordan Hicks retired, looking at that team and saying, well, now there's a good chance that you definitely have to start Schwessinger. He's got to be in the lineup. And then we're talking about going in, you know, Devin Bush was good last year. I still feel good there. And then you have Jerome Baker. Jerome Baker just, he struggled. Like, he was not the same player last year that he was in years past. He did not have a good season playing for the Titans last year. Like, you even split up his stats between playing for the Titans and then also playing in total with the Seahawks as well. He played 5 games apiece for each. Totaled 61 tackles, and he was much less effective than he was other places. And maybe it just wasn't a fit. Maybe he does bounce back. But one more injury in your linebacker room, and all of a sudden we're talking about starting Mahmoud Diabate or looking somewhere else to add another linebacker, which aren't just plentifully available right now. Like, we're in training camp, guys. Like, guys aren't just sitting around waiting to be handed jobs. Not guys who are actually useful pieces. Most of those guys have been signed. Linebacker injuries are a problem. I think offensive line injuries, well, you did some to balance out the depth that you have. Like, I don't know how much faith I have in Cornelius Lucas and Tevin Jenkins to be your just absolute, shirt up as soon as you can. And they'll step in and nothing changes. You know, it's definitely a downgrade. Like, Tevin Jenkins wasn't great last year. Cornelius Lucas is an older version of, you know, guys who have been on this roster. I just don't think that the depth is there. Like, injuries cause a major problem. You don't have solid depth, and that's, you know, expected of bad teams. So I think when a lot of us come out here and we're like, oh, well, the Browns can be good. They can do better than expected. They can upset what is expectation. Yeah, it's easy to say when you look at the starters and everybody's healthy. As soon as a couple of guys drop, you go from team's not that bad to, oh, we got to play that guy. Like, the Browns have done an okay job at filling in the starters' roles. The starters just aren't going to be there for 17 games. You aren't going to have every single player healthy for 17 games. You can't rely on it. And in the Browns right now, it feels like for success, are trying to. And that's a legitimate concern for me. That's something that I just can't accept and be happy with, because I know this team gets hurt. And I think that's where you start to look at the 5.5 game projection is, this makes a lot of sense. And if they were to fall below it, yeah, I think that could make a lot of sense. there's something to be said about getting young guys reps, but when quality of play falls off the board that heavily, you're really having to put that into perspective. No team wants to, but reality strikes really quick. We've already seen a couple of guys go down with season-ending injuries across the league. Yeah, obviously, you hope that's never your guys, and you don't want to sit there and expect it to happen, but it does. And I don't know that I can trust the Browns to go A and climb up over a win total. I don't know that I can trust them to truly be the team that they should be, because I don't know that the depth is there. And I think that's going to be a major concern and probably a major talking point as we go through parts of this season, is who's going to step up. If Cedric Tillman had to miss time, you're talking about, you know, sure, you have Jerry Jeudy, you have Deontay Johnson, and plenty of two wide receiver sets. You're also talking about a guy like Jamari Thrash being next up in that room. You didn't see a ton of Jamari Thrash last year. And I don't know how, you know, high my expectations are for Jamari and him exceeding. You're just going to be put in a spot where a lot of guys don't have reps, and you're going to go through struggles. And I think especially early on, that's no doubt going to lead to some losses. Like, the team will take a step back if that's the case, and you will struggle against these better defenses. 216-474-0092. It feels like right now the Browns' success is more dependent on health. Do you feel the same way? You can also get me on X at VolinJake, VolinEC. Jake, as we get ready for Get a Grip in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.